podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Liverpool, your magnificent swine. We're back live. It's the Anfield Wrap. Neil Atkinson, Joe Watson, Joel Richards and Mo Stewart with you until 7:30. First one of these we've done live for ages, and the adrenaline is coursing, veritably coursing through my veins. Overjoyed to have these gentlemen in front of me, and brilliant to be back live for this week as a bit of a one-time only deal. Hope, however, you're getting home relatively safely. And if you're already home and listening to this, then all the best. Cuddle up. Take it easy. We're going to have a fabulous time because we're talking about Liverpool going to Leicester. Leicester second Ranieri. We've got Sean Rogers recorded. He's going to close the show out for us. A couple of tunes in there as well. Everything that you need for your Friday evening. And we're talking about Liverpool, Leicester away 2016 and Leicester away 2017, Mo. And it's something that sort of occurred to me more and more. It was probably the most depressed I've been coming out of a football ground in the last 3 years. Leicester away when Jamie Vardy banged one in from 70 yards like Graham Sharp circa 1985. It was a bit of a killer punch. And you think about that team then, that Liverpool team then, Jordan Henderson on the wing, not looking fit. And you look at the progress that's been made, individuals and collective to now.
I think you're right. There was a lot of decisions mentally made around that period because the game after that was the home game against Sunderland where we threw away the lead. And then after that, we go and smash Aston Villa. And it's almost like that at that point, something's clicked. So I feel like it is a good time to take stock. That game, the Vardy goal, it was a bit Yeboah-like, wasn't it?
It was horrible.
And it was the worst thing was, you know that it's going to be shown again and again and again. I could have predicted right there and then it would be on the credits for Match of the Day next season. And sure enough, it was.
It was a killer blow, that game, Joel, really, and that. Not simply because Leicester were going to go on and win the league. You didn't know that at the time, but you could see that, you know, the act of doing things like sticking it in the back of the net at key moments, they were just better at than us then. And I remember just sort of watching it thinking, well, we just don't look like we could. It was one of those games where when they went 1-0 up, you knew it was game over. You felt you could play for a million years and not score. And Liverpool, whilst they've had this blip in January, they're in so much better shape now. It's a remarkable transformation.
Yeah, and it's a good yardstick for where we've came from this time last year, because I know Leicester have had their own problems, but if you just focus on us for a moment, I mean, we went into that game probably 8th or 9th in the table. We were in the doldrums. Leicester, as you say, were challenging for the league, but and then after that, all we had for our season between now and the end was the Europa League run. So that little run that Mo just referred to when we battered Villa and we got the draw against Sunderland, it was just sort of a little catalyst for us to get there, but it was still, we still had our problems, and it was just one of them league seasons where you just couldn't wait for the end to come.
Well, one of the things about it, Joe, is that you, around that sort of time is when it began to become clearer and clearer who the manager was going to put his faith in. So it's around that sort of time, for instance, Jordan Ibe gets fewer and fewer games. You know, you got the impression it's around February 2016 where the manager's making some decisions, the fruit of which you will hopefully still see him blossom today.
Yeah, you look at the lineup and you see Firmino through the middle, and obviously that was one of the things that he's persisted with to now. So like I say, I agree that he was finding the sort of players he wanted. To be honest with you, that game, just it was the players he wanted, but the performance just wasn't there. And I watched it again and again today, because I sort of blocked it out of memory. And it's unbelievable. That first goal, it's so good. The second goal, so shambolic. You see the defence. I think Mignolet, as soon as it's gone in, Mignolet's sprinting out and he's screaming at someone, whoever that was. And you can... It's just one of them.
It was brutal, Joel, and it is that sort of it reminds you that seasons, and I think again this is a pressing thing now. Liverpool have still got so much to play for this season, and yet the Liverpool manager is also currently now having to make decisions about next season, if you know what I mean. That'll now already be in his mind, because that's the way in which he's going to do the job, that's the way in which that's going to process itself through.
Yeah, of course, and I think the fear going into Monday is that this game could potentially become the same as what last season was, in a way where if we lose Monday night, worst case scenario, then you're looking at a season that might unravel pretty much like last season, where you just think, well, it's just gonna drift off into nothing. So I think Monday night, we've got to go there. No doubt their fans are going to be up for it now. They're going to back all the players who are on the pitch, and we've just got to deal with the initial burst that their players are going to want to come out and try and show that they're fighting for their lives.
It's Liverpool have had the break as well, Mo. Leicester had a couple of games in there. The games they haven't done that well in, and that's one of the reasons the manager's gone. We'll talk about that in part two. Before we get ahead of ourselves, though, it's the worry is they come out a bit rusty. That's the thing. It's been a long break. It's been a long break since this game. The worry is they come out a little leggy.
Well, that might be a worry, and it would be more a worry if I wasn't thinking that Klopp was working on exactly that for the whole time that they were away. It got to be more clinical towards this time of the season where it's crunch time, where every little mistake can cost you points, which can cost you momentum, which can be vital. Every single moment, we've got to be on point. I think someone mentioned a couple of weeks ago that a lot of the goals we conceded have come from silly mistakes. We've given them goals away. We can't afford to do that. With Leicester potentially under so much pressure themselves, if we give them a lead, then it's going to be so much harder to claw back. So we've got to be sharp, on point, clinical from the first kick.
The manager's talked a lot about that sort of thing, like with the noises that have come out the club throughout the season is, for instance, they're playing a Champions League game midweek. Joe, that's the way in which that's gone. And that you do feel as though what this is about now, this is about Liverpool, 13 games to go. It's building the experience of a running to look back on next season in case it is more critical next season, even though it's critical now. But, you know, if Liverpool can get that sort of combined memory of this 13 games here, and if we win 10, 11, 12 of them, it'll stand them in good stead going into next season.
Oh, absolutely. I think that said they should approach the running as if it is, as if they are going for that title. I mean, we're 2 points off second at the minute as we stand. So we should see ourselves as, if anyone's catching Chelsea, it can be us. Why not? So if they treat that as a running, then they can use it either, say the impossible happens and Chelsea slip up, who knows what's happening then. It's unlikely, so they need to take that experience for next year, like you say.
The running point is interesting in terms, not just in terms of Chelsea slipping up, Joel, but it getting that memory, getting that collectiveness, getting that togetherness on the one hand, and then on the other hand, you know, it's saying we're the most likely going into next season in order to be able to challenge. It's putting a bit of a marker out across everybody.
Yeah, and I think the other marker that we need to look at is next Saturday's game with Arsenal as well. I know obviously we've got to concentrate on Leicester. They are the first task at hand, so to say. But if you get a win Monday, Arsenal haven't played for a couple of weeks now because obviously Southampton in the cup final Sunday. If we get a win against Leicester and then we go into the Arsenal game, let's see how we are for that one, because they are our direct rivals for this top four place. So we've already beaten Tottenham a couple of weeks ago. Let's see how we get on Monday, and then let's go into Arsenal, and then let's see what happens then.
It is the bounce of these games, and it's almost a mini season in one. And again, he's talked about it as an intense pre-season within the season, Klopp, and the players have come out. It hasn't been a holiday camp. They've been working and working on Shane Mo, and you want to see them take what they've been working on into this first game in the same way at the start of the season they took it to the Emirates when they went there.
Very much so. I think we want to be able to finish, like you say, at the end of the game and say, okay, we know exactly what they've been working on, because it is so vital, not just in terms of this season. But, I mean, we're going to be competing with these sides in terms of on the pitch and in the transfer market come the summertime. So if we are able to prove, we can get to the top three, avoid Champions League qualifiers, into the Champions League, then clubs and agents who are going to be looking in the beginning of the summer to start the deals, we're going to be in a very good position.
Okay, this is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Fantastic to be here this evening with you. And earlier this week, Gareth Roberts and Andy Heaton spent an hour with Lucas Leiva talking to him about the whole of his Liverpool career. It's fantastic. It's at the Anfield Wrap, theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe. It's behind that paywall, £5 a month. I've got a little clip of it for you here now. But the whole thing's an hour long and it's absolutely fantastic. Here it is.
Do you feel appreciated?
Yes, I do feel appreciated, of course, and I feel appreciated because, because we are doing this, it's a way to show appreciation by the fans. You know, you guys, you know a lot of people and you speak with a lot of fans, you know, and as I said, I think the word that I always wanted to have my time in Liverpool was respect, and I think I got that. You know, I think people respect me, you know, they have different opinions. I have no problem with that, but they respect me, you know. Not everyone, but most of the fans, for sure, they respect me. So that's why if I look back, you know, it was all not worth it, but it helped to get to this point.
Brilliant.
Just a couple more from me, quick ones. I always think that you come across as a player that likes almost the culture of football in England as well. The reason, I'll give an example I loved. was your banter, if you like, with the Stoke fans. You gave it the fist when we knocked them out the cup, and then when we played them in the league, they're giving you loads of stick. You're warming up, and you give it again. Yeah. And you know, I loved all that because we should have a laugh about football, shouldn't we? We should enjoy football, and you know, the very fact that you're doing this interview as well says to me that you know you're someone who gets the football culture really in this country.
Yes, I like the culture of England. You know, I think that's why this league is so big. Of course, players, but also what the fans make around, because football without fans are nothing, really. You know, so you have to understand that. Yeah. And the way that the people in England go to the games and appreciate and support their teams and have the banter, and I think it's all part of football, and football it is this, you know, you have to go out, we have to go out and play, and you guys have to go out and enjoy and have a laugh or call your mate and say that your team beat his. So that's the beauty of football. You know, if you start to get too much, you know, serious, yeah. I would say, especially off the field, you lose that, you yeah. know, that passion, that love. So I get it.
So last of all, what does the future hold? What do you want to be, a manager? Do you want to be a coach? Have you not thought about that?
I'm still not sure. You know, I'm still not sure what I'm gonna do. Of course, I've started my coaching badge. I'm not too sure yet if I wanna the life of a manager, I would say,
because you've seen enough of them.
It's very hard. Mm. It's very hard, very hard. So I haven't decided. I think I have many years to play still. So, but of course, being around in football is something I would love to, because you know I like the game and I think I can still help when I retire.
Okay, there is Lucas Leiva. It's a fantastic interview, Gareth and Andy. Terrific, but obviously Lucas is fantastic throughout. So much to say, so many insights into his time at Liverpool. It's theanfieldwrap.com and theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe if you would like to do so. £5 a month, loads of terrific stuff on there. But anyway, we're going to go now, and here is your traffic and travel. Radio City Talk, indeed, The Anfield Wrap. Neil Atkinson with you until 7:30. Sean Rogers to come after 7:00. In front of me, I have Joe, Joel and Mo. Feels like a bit of a group, but we'll go from there. Let's see how it goes. Stock, Aiken and Waterman production, I'd say that one. Leicester then Sack and Ranieri. Mo, I mean you can have your view on it as to whether or not it's the right thing to do. You know, there's been a lot of unnecessarily emotive language around it. It's a football decision, and Ranieri, mm-hmm. more than anything else, is a football man. He understands how these things have been made. It's not the first time he's been sacked.
No.
But the worry is that because the players seem as though they're being integral in what's gone on, that's what's being reported, that there will be a bounce that Liverpool are going to receive on Monday night.
Well, that is the fear. You'd expect them to be able to go out there and prove exactly why they feel they were better off without him. However, I'm not so sure that that's exactly going to solve all of their problems. I mean, essentially, they are still a team in trouble, and Liverpool are still a team on the rise, so if we can get up on them early, I think they will find that their best laid plans might start going to waste.
Joel, it's a strange situation. It's you know where there's understandably loyalty being shown to those players by Ranieri, in that there's you know loyalty to one another, and in the end it feels as though it's almost to a certain extent that's what's done for him. But he must have known in the summer. Leicester as a club knew in the summer the extent to which they performed above themselves, and you know, and that's not to take away from the achievements and how well they played towards the back end of the season. But they sort of must have known somewhere how this was it, and from that point it was only going to go one way. And I think that the problem with that is when that's the collective sort of knowledge and memory, you can say, well, it's only going to go one way, but we can control it. But before you know where you are, the wheels can come off, and you're sliding down the hill completely out of control.
I don't think they've had any time to really think about it, if that makes sense. You know, the first couple of games, I mean, the first game of the season, he lost 2-1 to Hull, and he were absolutely terrible. And then early on, we battered them at Anfield, didn't we? And I just think it's just maybe it's happened, and they've gone, oh my God, what happens next? It was just the collective heads have fell off, literally. And I mean, we were speaking earlier about Selin Kante, and like and I agree with what you said off air, was that arguably now in hindsight they should have got rid of the likes of Vardy and Mahrez when Arsenal came in for them, and I'm sure there was even talk around Drinkwater going as well. You know, collectively maybe they should
have sucked the two centre halves who had the seasons of their lives.
Yeah, they should have sucked the money and run, and the thing with Morgan and Hoof now, I've looked at them quite a lot this season, and they just look like defenders who've had the best days, and they just look no better than Championship League One quality. And the more the season's gone on, you've looked at games and they just haven't had any fight at all, whereas they get the early goal within the first opening 15-20 minutes, it hasn't been there at all. And once they can see the first goal, the edge goes down, and that's why it's so important Monday night that we don't let them have that first chance.
Joe, one of the things is that obviously they're not going to win the league this year. Title defences have become impossible. No one's retained this title now all the way through the year, and I think you see the emotional, physical, mental impact of winning this thing with the Champions League stuff that comes with it as well. When you can see what it's done to this football team, what it's done to Leicester, as to what how it's impacted them. Not only have sides not retained this title, but there've been bad defences as well, tons and tons of bad defences. United, City, Chelsea. You know, the tripping off the tongue. Really, it's a strange thing when you look back on the previous decade when the league was getting won almost in blocks.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone says it's such a strange situation with Ranieri, but I mean, last year Mourinho was sacked, having won the league. Chelsea were eighth at the time, I think, or ninth. And
yeah,
in a way, it's similar because Leicester were a mid-table side that went to win the league. Chelsea were a top side that went to win the league. And then they sort of dropped. So Leicester have dropped to 17th, Chelsea dropped to 8th, sort of 4 or 5 places below where they should be. So I think there are similarities in that one. And I agree that Title defences are becoming impossible. I think that's because of the quality of the league in the top half. It's getting better, and it just is.
I think also it takes, like you say, it takes a lot out of you when you go to that point with the intensity that's needed to carry you through a title run-in can sometimes be a drop-off. And with Leicester in particular, what I think has happened slightly is that Ranieri, he's managed the big clubs. He's managed clubs who expect to win the league at the beginning of the season. None of those players have been in that situation. So I feel like he's gone in there in pre-season and said to them, look, we need to step it up. We need to work harder than we did before. Forget what happened last year. This has to be better. It has to be harder. And therefore, some of them haven't reacted the best to it. And that has started to fester. And now we're seeing the end.
And what you also need to look at as well is the recruitment that they got in the summer. Arguably, the only player who's maybe done a little bit is Slimani. Apart from that, their signings have been dreadful. They've already packed one off within 6 months. And Hernandez, the right back, Musa hasn't cut it bar a couple of goals against Dev in the cup, and any of their other signings, they haven't just clicked at all. And the fact that Vardy and Mahrez as well haven't scored many goals, that's been telling for them.
It's an important lesson. And go back to you, Mo, and you know, in terms of we're looking at Liverpool this season, we want to see them do as well as we can, finish as strongly as possible. But it's a telling lesson. We've seen it from the drop off from 13-14, and where, for instance, Gerrard was terrific in the run of the 13-14, but found the start of 14-15 very, very difficult at times. To sustain what will Liverpool do this season into next is going to be, you know, it is going to be tough. It is going to be a challenge, and it's something that, you know, players are going to struggle to deal with to some extent at some stage.
That's why it needs to be evolution, not revolution. I think part of the problem with Leicester and part of the problem with us in 13-14 is that we went too high too quickly. We went from, what, we were seventh the season before to challenging for the title. Leicester nearly got relegated the season before. So there's no building up of momentum. There's no players who are getting used to winning games year in, year out, getting better, bringing in, fixing certain problems in certain areas of the squad and building on it, rather than having to start again completely. Like, a team that's not expected to get into the Champions League, both Leicester and Liverpool, the seasons after, will say, oh, well, you've got to go out and buy loads of players because you're going to play in so many more games. But if the chemistry isn't right with those players who come in, then it all goes wrong. Like Joe said, I think there's definitely seems to be two groups with Leicester. The players who got them the title and some of the ones who've come in who haven't seemed to mix well with the squad.
The only time we've regularly built under any particular manager, for my mind, was the early years under Julio, where we had that steady fourth, third, then second. Obviously, we had the drop-off after that when we finished fifth, but that was the only time I've ever known Liverpool to just solidly build in the league in terms of going about the business, just getting up that one place, fourth, UEFA Cup, the next year, third, Champions League, second, just finishing 7 points off the top. And that, for us now, we need to start.
And building a squad in the process, I mean, I would say that probably the Julio squad, Joel's the last Liverpool squad, which you can look at and sort of go, you can make a semi sort of, probably should have won a league argument around. Not to, you know, not to criticise anyone, but probably, you know, should probably have got one in the bag there somewhere, looking at the number of options all over the pitch.
Yeah, we're enough for Arsenal in 2002, winning the last 13 games in a row. And arguably, the fact that Julio fell ill during that season threw us a bit. maybe that was our best chance to win the league. And obviously people point to 0-2, 0-3 where we just absolutely got it so wrong in the transfer window, which was the main reason. But that season, if anything, was our chance in a way. It was probably the best chance we've had to win the league, arguably, over the last 15 years.
Shifting back to Monday night then, Joe, it's going to be a tough affair for Liverpool, because the thing to remember is that whilst these Leicester players last season obviously played above themselves, they now must surely be playing significantly below themselves. And that, you know, at some sort of point, that reverts to type. Vardy's got a goal under his belt now as well. You know, there's every chance that a Leicester turns up to face the Reds who are in good shape.
They're going to have to especially look up for it, because if it's true that the players are the ones that have said, look, we can't play for Ranieri anymore, we need a change, then now they've been given that change, they have to start improvements and now, because otherwise, well, they'll just look stupid in front of their own fans. And I think our team can actually use that to our advantage. If we can get the crowd on their back early, then I think that can really start to play into our hands. A couple of mistakes, maybe a misplaced pass or two, and then, you know, their players are going to be thinking, you know, we're in trouble here. So we need to use that to our advantage instead of looking at it as they're going to be coming at us.
Our manager all the time, Joel, talks about the chemistry of a crowd and what it does. You know, it's taking that energy and inverting itself and flipping it on its head. You know, for instance, if Liverpool can't score the first goal, if they can start as well as they did against Spurs, then Leicester will be worrying about the way in which the football match is unfolding.
Yeah, and the one thing for me, stopping them using the clappers. That for me has been my biggest bugbear around Leicester. No offence to them, but a club that has to hand out clappers every home game, sorry lads, but you know, you need to have a look at yourselves.
I think it's interesting the way we talk about the crowd, but I personally think that they're going to make a statement. I think the Leicester players are going to be in for some stick regardless of what they do. It's a Monday night game. The Sky cameras are going to be there. The Leicester fans are going to want to pay their respects to Ranieri. So expect a lot of chanting for Ranieri. Maybe a few anti-player signs in the crowd that the cameras will focus on. But the thing you've got to remember is, even in their best case scenario, if they go out and win 3-0, they're still not going to be above criticism, because they've been saying, well, where has this been for the last 2 months?
It's a very, very fair point indeed, Mo. This is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. After the news, speaking to Sean Rogers, speaking more to the gentleman in front of me as well. But sit back, relax. The news is coming for you right now. This is the Anfield Wrap. Radio City Talk indeed, Neil Atkinson with the Anfield Wrap. I've got in front of me, I've got Joe Watson, Joel Richards and Mo Stewart with you until 7:30. Got Sean Rogers coming up to preview the Leicester game from his point of view with this shift in the dressing room. Really looking forward to that indeed. Going to play a tune for you as well in this hour, because I can't resist. It's Friday night, we all want to go out and have a great time. Mo, you're DJing tonight, where are you DJing?
I'll be at Shipping Forecast from 10 o'clock this evening playing. Might actually be playing that song that you're going to play as later.
Really? I might like introduce it then, Mo. We've got all that coming up indeed. All that sort of fantastic stuff. And looking ahead to Monday night's game against Leicester City. But first, Joe, Lallana, Adam Lallana's new deal. You expect him obviously to play against Leicester. And it's a strange thing. I think in recent years, when you've looked at attacking players, attacking midfielders, wide players, forwards, you've felt as though the peak years aren't the traditional peak years for a footballer. You felt as though that a lot of these lads these days, they look like they peak at about 25, 26, when there's still the pace. Lallana is in that slightly rare breed of attacking player these days, where you're able to say, in terms of his physicality, whether it's his strength or his pace, he hasn't got a lot of pace to lose. He's stronger than people think, but he hasn't actually got that much pace to lose. And the experience, the level that he's currently at, he should be able to sustain into the next three seasons. And that's why Liverpool have given him the contract.
Absolutely. I think he's become one of our most important players this season. And the experience in setting at Liverpool seems to have helped him with his time there. And like you say, he's not got a lot of pace to lose in that sense. He seems to have got stronger throughout his time there. And his main attributes, his first touch, it's unbelievable. And he's going to keep that until he retires. It's going to stay there year after year after year. So I'm not worried about sort of the ageing period getting to him in that sense.
He's a player who's constantly improved, Joel. That's one of the interesting things about him. Look right the way through his career, the levels that he's played at, how he's come up and up and up. And that's, you know, you feel as though that there's a nous element to this now as well, that, you know, he is now an experienced head. The manager talked about his influence in the dressing room today as well.
Yeah, he's 28 going on 29, is that right? So before he came to Liverpool, he was Southampton's captain as well, lest we forget. So he's already had them natural qualities as a leader in another team. And I think he has, as you said, he's become one of the elder statesmen of the squad. And I'd argue, alongside Henderson and Milner, they are the three main men in that dressing room, you know, possibly. And I think it's well deserved for his form that he's had over the last 18 months under Klopp, albeit he's had the past month or so, he's slipped off a bit, but the whole team have. So, you know, you can't slate him too much for that. And I just hope between now and the next 4 years that he's of his deal, that he does continue to give us a lot of his skills that he has done.
He's a player who, again, he needs players around him, he needs players ahead of him, Mo. Mm-hmm. And you feel as though the more quality you put around Adam Lallana, you'll get two things. One, and Adam Lallana will work harder and harder off the pitch, yes, in order to be able to reach the level of those other players. But number two, a Lallana who can then feed and involve and be one of those players.
Very much so. I think we were talking about his pace earlier. Lallana's pace is in his head. Very much like Sheringham, they used to say. And so him being deeper allows him a bigger picture. So he's able to pick those passes a lot better. And I think that's something that we will see developing as we get better attacking weapons in front of him. He's going to become more and more integral.
All right, then. Speaking of better attacking weapons in front of Lallana, Joel, you're expecting an unchanged side. I think it's probably fair to say for this game. A lot from the manager says today is, you know, training sessions. It'll be close for him, but I think that suggests. I'd be surprised if he felt he had to drop Lovren back in.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, whether Lovren's fit or not, I'd be happy if he kept the same 11, because, you know, when you look back at the Tottenham game, it finally felt like the side that we had between October and November, when we were battling everyone in sight, or we were actually winning games, you know, bar Lucas for Lovren. So I think that is our settled 11, that is our perfect 11, if you want to call it that, for when we are playing well. And Monday night, they just need to do the same again.
There's what's difficult now for the Liverpool manager. He'll have worked on stuff with his team. He doesn't just say, look after yourselves, boys. It's been quite clear all season, Joe. He tweaks around the opposition. Yeah, Liverpool, we're going to see the 4-3-3, I think. You know, we're going to see that established way of playing. But he does make those sorts of decisions. The difficulty now is if you're Jurgen Klopp, until you see the Leicester team sheets, and perhaps even after you see the Leicester team sheets, you can't be exactly sure what it is that they're going to do.
No, I think in some away games, particularly this season, he's looked to use Emre Can in the midfield. I think he likes to have that sort of presence. But I think we saw against Hull, whilst it's good having Chan's presence, you drop in one of Lallana or Wijnaldum, who've been so important, and we saw against Spurs just how important they are. So I think it's unchanged purely because the team can't be. The players have played themselves into the positions, and that's why you're not seeing the likes of Chan. I mean, I like having a recognised striker on the pitch, and Firmino, he's brilliant. He's great at what he does, and he should be playing through the middle for us because that's clearly where he's best. But I'm not sure that he's still a recognised striker as such. Mm-hmm. And Origi could be looking to get a chance in the team, but this isn't the game for him, and I'd be very surprised if it was.
An informed finisher, I think. Which of them, whether it be Origi, whether it be Sturridge, whether it be Firmino, because he has been a great finisher for us in the past, last season in particular. So that sharpness at the top end of the pitch, I think that's what's the most important thing.
The most important thing I feel we need is legs. Simple as that. You've got Hoof and Morgan there. They're knocking on mid-30s. Just run at them and try and get inside them.
And run round them.
Yeah, just get round them, inside them, notch.
One thing I would say regarding what Leicester could do, one thing I think Klopp will definitely stress to them, it'll show them the Man City game when Man City went to Leicester and they absolutely blitzed them in the first 20 minutes. That was the last time everyone spoke about Leicester potentially getting their mojo back when Vardy got his hat-trick. And that was the only time that they've been able to play like they played last season, countering teams on the break. Partly because Man City flooded forward at them. So maybe that's something he's looking at a way whereby our counter-attack defence, which, let's face it, has been shocking over the last couple of months. I think that's one of the things that they hopefully we've been working on while we were away.
Well, there's been lots of talk, a couple of things that have come out whilst they're away, around things about around game management, that might be a little bit more of what they've been working on rather than just the idea of, you know, what you're doing when you're in possession here, lads. And that is, you know, that'd be good to hear. The other strange one on this one, Joel, is, again, we're last, playing last. I think it's happened to us a bit too much, too often this season. If I was the manager, it'd be one of the things I'd be looking back on. But there's no Arsenal City or United game either, so it's quite nice. I think it's an opportunity for Liverpool to get that game in hand, you know, and it's another away game chalked up. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the season, and I think we've only got four or five away games left now.
Yeah, and well, arguably, you'd, on paper, you'd say the hardest away game left is Man City, but no doubt, because of our weaknesses being the lesser teams, you'd say you'd be more concerned about them. But I agree with you. It always annoys me when we're the last game of the weekend, whether it's in this season or in years gone by. But the fact that three of our main rivals aren't playing this weekend, we just need to forget about that.
Points
about
on the board, isn't it now?
Yeah. Just get the points on the board. Tottenham are playing Stoke on Sunday, if you want to argue about that as well. But just concentrate on ourselves. Let's just get as close to Tottenham as we can, or trying to get whatever in the top four and just getting a base.
It's one where I think, you know, you don't want to necessarily live. It's a funny situation for the Reds. We've all talked about this crowd first 20 minutes, Joe, the way in which Leicester are going to try and impose themselves. But there's a converse to that, which is that you don't want to overcommit given what happens to Manchester City. It's going to be a bit of a balancing act the opening of the game.
Definitely. I think it's going to be different because of the Ranieri sacking. If Ranieri's still in charge, I think they're a bit more conservative at the start. They're careful. They don't want to give anything away. I think a draw is better for them with Ranieri in charge. With the caretaker, I think they're going to go for the win because he's trying to impress, get the job. So I think we're going to see a different game plan just because of that decision. Whether or not like that would have been different, we'll never know.
All right then. Predictions and expectations. Going to go to you first on this one, Joel.
Right. I'll start off with the expectation. I expect a win no matter what because we need to start getting points on the board. But my prediction is I'm fearing of that little bounce. So I'm going to say a 2-2 draw.
My worry on it, Joel, is I don't quite see the moment when Liverpool get to take the game away from Leicester. I think this is my concern with this one is I don't quite see that sort of. I think it needs to be 3. You know, if it's 2-0 with 20 to go, they'll still be, you know, the crowd will presumably be up. The players, if the players have got anything about them, they'll be putting themselves about. That's my worry about it.
Yeah, if we're 1-2-1 up, I'll be flapping it.
Mo,
I'm confident. I'm confident that the work that we've done while we've been away will bear fruit, and I think that we'll be able to weather the Leicester storm. I predict it will be 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool. Joe?
I expect absolute chaos in the first 20 minutes because we've already talked about their need to get the crowd going and to go. But we've just had the 2-week break with Lemanga, and I think our players are raring to go too. They've just come off the back of a big win. They're wanting to go out and show that they're the football team that everyone says they are. So I think there'll be chaos, there'll be goals. I think we'll win 3-2.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much to Joe, Joel and Mo. We're going to play you a song and then we're going to come back and Sean Rogers is going to have his chat about the game as well. That Lucas interview, I said before, theanfieldrap.com/subscribe. Mo, say the name of the song and say goodnight to the good people.
It's Pulp and Common People. Good night, everybody.
That's Common People by Pulp. This is Neil Atkinson with the Anfield Wrap, and it's great to hear before from Mo, Joe and Joel. But we're closing the show this week talking to Sean Rogers about the forthcoming game against Leicester City. Sean, we'll be honest, it's the second time we've done this. We did the first one yesterday before Claudio Ranieri was sacked, and we're doing it again today, and Claudio Ranieri remains sacked. And what that does is it throws open... It's such an interesting situation, really, in that if the reported stories are true, that there's been some sort of player speaking to the owner, the first thing that says is the Leicester City you think Liverpool are probably going to get on Monday, even whether that's true or not, just simply because it's believed to be true, those players are going to run and run and run for 90 minutes because that crowd is going to want them to do that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a shame. You'll have to, at the end of the season, you'll have to put out yesterday's show because, I mean, that was going to win all sorts of awards, like the applause and the way Liverpool reacted to that show yesterday with the people, the thousands listening to us record the show yesterday. It's just such a shame. In terms of Monday night, it's really interesting. I was chatting to my brother this morning on the way into work and he said to me, you know, do you think it's right, Sean, that they will have spoken to the players? Do you think there's a vibe from the dressing room that they needed to change? You know, does that mean that potentially there's going to be a huge boost? Similar to yourself, you know, Leicester's not a bad home crowd. You know, you'd probably say Palace and Leicester have a track record. Maybe in the past, maybe Stoke you could add to that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about now, but certainly Palace and Leicester, quite vocal support. Monday night under the lights, playing Liverpool. I think once the game starts, the managerial position potentially becomes irrelevant. Because I just think the crowd, Liverpool, Monday Night Football as well, they're going to be so up for it that, what can I say, if they don't at least put in some level of performance, and certainly in terms of work rate, intensity and just a certain standard of performance, then they need a serious look at themselves. However, coming off the back of the result in Seville, you'd think, irrespective of what they think of the manager and how the season's gone, you would think that the players... will be on a bit of a high comeback on the plane. They've got a home leg to really look forward to. It's going to be quite a memorable night for Leicester. You know, us as Liverpool supporters, we'd be so up for it. You know, a 2-1 defeat away from home. Yep. You've got the away goal, one of them sort of special Anfield nights. To then get maybe getting rid of them after the second leg, you can maybe understand. To do it now, it could. There is a possibility to have a negative impact on the players. Normally in these situations, so you normally get a vibe that the board know that the dressing room are okay with it. Irrelevant to that, I think you're right, though. I think Liverpool are going to face certainly at least a tough 20 minutes at the start. How Liverpool then pick that apart.
And that's the, for me, you're right about that. You know, and
I refuse to believe that Craig Shakespeare is going to do anything significantly different to what Ranieri would have done. They're still the same players. They had the success playing the way in which they played last season. If anything, it might actually make it easier in terms of what Liverpool are to expect in that. It wouldn't surprise me if effectively, where he can, Shakespeare basically picks last season's team. So Mahrez back on the right, Albrighton back on the left, and Didi being the Kante who's filling in there, going next to Drinkwater, Okazaki behind Vardy. It really wouldn't surprise me now if that's just simply what he does, and he almost has this attitude of, right, lads, you know how hard you're going to have to work here, and bringing someone like Okazaki back into the fold as a grafter, that's, you know, that may well be what happens. But you're right to say that first 20 then, therefore, for the Reds could well be, you know, it could be even more of a whirling dervish.
Yeah, I think his big decision is Mahrez. Mahrez, if you're an assistant manager going in there, whether he wants the job or not, he's going to need the big personalities in that dressing room on board. Obviously, Vardy is going to be the first person he sits down with, I suspect. Now, he may sit down with Mahrez and have a chat, and Mahrez is saying, you give me that number 10 role. You know, don't you be sticking me out there on the wing. Teams are doubling up on me now, team, you know. It'd be interesting to see what he does. You can understand, if he plays on the right, there's merit in that, to be fair. If he plays him as the 10, you can see a bit of merit in that. I think that's his main judgment call. I think you've just nailed exactly the team he's going to play. I think the interesting thing with Leicester, Andy and I, a few weeks back, were having a good chat with someone in private about Vardy. And it was interesting where what they were saying is that the goals he scored last season were so difficult. They weren't just scruffy 6-yard box goals. Even the ones that he was scoring in and around the area were tight angles, and they were great finishes and things like this. And he said that there's always a danger with that type of player that he reverts to mean. And what that means is, you know, if you're going to score 1 in 5 chances, but you scored 1 in 3, you don't go back to 1 in 5. You go back to maybe 1 in 8,
yeah,
to get yourself back to the mean of 1 in 5. And you look at that this season, and I think that seems to make sense now. And when you look at the way Leicester play, they were renowned last year. All the data analysts in the Premier League, it's mad how they all knew it then, but you have a summer break and then it works the following season. It's mad. So even last year, they knew most of Leicester's goals, I believe, were 3 passes or less. And they were really direct. And you just couldn't allow that space for Mahrez in between the lines. You don't want him on his left foot, and you can't leave the space for Vardy to run into. So I think you combine the fact the teams aren't giving Leicester the ability to play that way, plus not an easy transfer window in the summer for them at all. Obviously hasn't gone according to plan, and then you've got someone like Vardy not hitting anywhere near the height of last season. That's where they are, where they are. I think the only worry for Liverpool is they don't need to have a great season now. They need a little run of games.
Yeah, they need 3-4 wins,
and Liverpool at home, that kind of game is probably just what they need Monday night. If that was, without being disrespectful, if that was away to Hull, it's a difficult one for those players, I think, and they may have to play a different way. We were discussing on the amazing show that we did yesterday that it's an interesting one for Klopp, in that if we go and play how we normally play with a high line and fullbacks high and try to dominate the ball, that fits the Leicester model from last season perfectly, really. So in a way, that might play into their hands and say, well, yeah, we can go back to doing what we do last year. The pressure's on Liverpool. We're under the lights. We just enjoy it. And we take it from there. That could be quite dangerous. The only hope I've got is that, irrespective of what was going on in the dressing room after Sevilla, I just hope that it just disrupts Leicester completely in terms of their mindset and the concentration of those players. And I think if we can then start really well on Monday night, then their players start to think. I think if their players just play on instinct and the intensity and feed off the crowd, I think Leicester could put in a strong performance. But I think if we can realise their fears first 5 minutes, dominate the game, not necessarily with the ball, we just dominate the game, they don't get any joy, and they start to go, oh, we're playing Liverpool here and this is tough and things haven't changed, and they start to think and have a few doubts, especially if we can get that first goal. I could see Liverpool doing really, really well. On the other hand, Leicester come out the traps nice and fast. It could be a long night.
It's, for me, one of the, you know, you're right to say, we know that Leicester will try and sit deep and they will try and hit in the break. I'd be really surprised if that isn't what they do, for a variety of reasons. If Ranieri was still in charge, that I would have been surprised if that wasn't what they did. But I think the core thing for Liverpool is the movement around Huth and Morgan. I think that's what Liverpool have got to look to do. You know, not the idea that they're obviously not going to leave the space for Mane to run in behind, that like Spurs did. No one's going to do that. They're not going to do that. But it's turning them round. It's making them have to defend on the half turn, which is where both of them, you know, even last season, it's where they didn't want to be, but it's where they really don't want to be now. It's, you know, they both had their issues and problems at some point this season. And if Liverpool can play in that space in front of them, Sean, then that's where the joy will be.
Yeah, Kante's been an enormous loss for them. And the one thing with the Liverpool team is,
you know, we're probably at our best in that sort of 20 by 20 yard grid, if you want to call it that, that 20 by 20 yard square in front of the centre halves. We're not going to get in behind them with any great ease. You know, if we go 1-0 up, maybe have to go 2-0 up this Liverpool team, unfortunately, for teams to open up. I think if we go 1-0 up, they may say we just hang in there, to be honest. I think that's been a problem for us this year, that we have to go 2 up before teams start to leave us the spaces that we need. I think if Liverpool can get in those little areas, then they can really cause the centre-halves for Leicester a whole world of trouble. And that's where you could see Firmino being an absolutely key player. Mane's runs sort of cutting in diagonally there would cause them a lot of problems. But it's how... This is the difficulty with Liverpool. We're going to have to play so intricately. The passing's going to have to be both quick, with quick movement, accurate. To get into those kind of areas is not easy. Leicester are going to put two sitting midfield players in there, and whether it's Azaki or Maris, they're going to sit someone on Henderson. It'd be, you know, you look at Tottenham, it took them too long to actually attempt to try and do that. I don't think you're going to see that with Leicester. So you've got to look at who are we going to have feeding into that space, because I don't think Henderson will be granted as much time on the ball as what he has been recently. So I think we have to look at Wijnaldum and Lallana as absolutely critical players, and how many times can we get Firmino, Coutinho and Mane in between the lines in there. If we can do that regularly, we could cause them so many problems.
It may end up being, it looks as though Lovren's unlikely to make it off the back of the manager's press conference today, but it could actually end up being a positive, Sean, in that if Liverpool are going to be given a lot of the ball, if it's Matip and Lucas, because if they are going to, for instance, put someone like Okazaki on Henderson, if Matip and Lucas can take turns stepping up and effectively pinging those balls into those areas as well, that could actually work for Liverpool across the course of the game.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you forget sometimes like how modern Liverpool were in the past. You know, we look back to some of the signings that Paisley made. I think, you know, Lawrenson and Hansen were both midfielder types, certainly when they were being recruited. And you look at a number of centre-halves across Europe, they'd actually been maybe holding midfielders or centre-midfielders. Now, all right, it hasn't perhaps worked as well as we'd all like, Lucas stepping in at centre-half there. But I would say that it's more inconsistent. There are times when his aggression in there, the way that he nips in and gets in front, has been really, really proactive and positive. He's still learning the position a little bit. There are obviously other times that cause us a fair bit of concern in that role. But like you say, the big positive on it is if they try and shut Henderson down, when Lucas is playing well, I think he's underestimated at zipping the, if we want to call it, the straight vertical passes into who you want, your Lallana's, your Coutinho's, your Firmino's. Also, Matip, he's shown, I think he's grown during the season, a bit of confidence. We've seen it recently as well. He's really good at carrying the ball out, and Henderson can then look to cover for him as he steps in. And that's something we used to see, obviously, Liverpool teams are renowned for. Like you say, that's going to be the key on Monday night. And then, obviously, they're going to look to spring in them spaces in behind. And then that's where Liverpool's goalkeeper situation's been a little bit tricky, because you obviously need a sweeper keeper for me. And if you're going to have Lucas and Matip doing that, you really need a sweeper keeper. And I don't think our keepers maybe play as high and are as aggressive as perhaps what Jurgen wants.
It's difficult to see any placing aside for Emre Can. In fact, to be honest, if Lovren's out, Sean, you'd be very, very surprised if it isn't just an unchanged 11 from Spurs.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the only thing that'll be in the back of his mind, I don't think it'll change, I think it will be the same side. He may, with Lovren being out, just have a look at the threat of set pieces a little bit. I don't think it'll change his team selection, but I think second half, if it's tight, he'll probably put Can on. Certainly Leicester last year were very dangerous at set pieces. Huth and Morgan, absolutely massive threat. Mahrez, obviously, again, when he's playing well, can have an absolute wicked delivery there. It's not necessarily the biggest of Liverpool teams if you don't have Emre Can and Lovren in that side. So I'd be prepared, perhaps, if second half's tight and we're winning particularly, he's going to fear the long ball, maybe them throwing Huth or Morgan up top. I wouldn't be surprised to see Can come on second half, more so for height reasons rather than anything else to do with the game.
Quick prediction?
Before the sacking, I was actually really confident, to be honest with you. I think that a manager like Jurgen would do really, really well with these kind of trips, both in terms of his technical expertise, in terms of just coaching the players, but also, is there a better manager who could have a good bonding session with the players and get everyone really enthusiastic about at the end of the season? In my view, there's no better manager at doing that. I think the first 20 minutes is so critical. I think if we play well in the first 20 minutes, I think Leicester, I just think, I know what players are like, they just start to think, and it's no different, and they're in big trouble then. I think the first 20 minutes goes really, really well for Leicester. I just worry that that crowd just carry him over the line. We've seen this with Liverpool where we've had big games midweek. Probably the biggest one in my memory, which is mad, is 2009-10 when we played Tottenham at home. Tottenham were purring. We were really struggling with Aquilani and Kout up front, and we just found a way to win. And the crowd got us. The crowd are brilliant that night because everyone thought we were getting beat.
Yeah.
And I just won. My only fear is if we give that crowd any positivity in the first 20 minutes, they could just bounce off each other a little bit.
Okay. Huge thanks to Sean, to Joe, to Joel, and to Mo. That's been the Anfield Wrap this week. More of the same soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.